Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live. It is a Reaction Monday. Right there, you heard Clint Sterner, Tyler Milner is in the building, and we will break down everything that we saw on Sunday, everything we've heard since the game and afterwards as the Texans season ends Saturday in Kansas City. They lose 23-14. A lot of kind of good and some bad coming out of that game, but we will look at it and discuss it all. Again, this is the final Monday of the year in which we are off at 5 o'clock. There is one final coaches show with D'Amico Ryans. Hopefully you heard him earlier on In the Loop, but you will hear him with the fellas after us. So the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans starts at 5 o'clock. That comes up after us. I just want to do some checks on you guys and the people. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can join and do your thing on here. How y'all have you all recovered from Saturday? How are you from Saturday as kind of now it's been 2 days since the game?
Well, I'm fully recovered. I've been chomping at the bit to talk about a bunch of this stuff, though. I mean, there's some great stuff coming from the game, coming from the other games. But yeah, look, I'm 100% recovered. Here's the deal, and this was my immediate thought the minute that I knew the Texans weren't going to win the game, before the last time, this last second even ticked off the clock. I thought to myself, damn, this is a much better feeling than when we walked off that field last year against Baltimore. Last year against Baltimore, I personally felt like, yeah, CJ had a great year. Yeah, Will had a great year. Yeah, D'Amico had a great first year. But all that season built up and led up to, I thought, oh, man, there went all the air out of my sails. There went all the air out of my balloon.
We are
still just as far as we were last time we played the Baltimore Ravens. This time it was competitive. You can put your finger on a couple of things that swung the game. That, to me, that's a statement about where this team is and ultimately that they've taken strides from last season to this season. So, I'm in a good spot. Of course, I would have loved to win. I'd love to be talking about going to the AFC Championship game the first time in Texans history. I'd love to be talking about that. So, the loss hurts. But yeah, I'm fully recovered, man. I'm ready, ready to rock and roll.
More competitive than last year's loss.
Absolutely.
To the Ravens. Yeah, some things you did in your control that you feel like could have changed maybe the outcome of this. Greenhead VR, first time I felt like we didn't get beat by the Chiefs, felt robbed. I'm certain we'll get into that. Still pissed, still hurt, still upset, still angry from the text line coming through. Where are you? Where you at, Tyler? Because you know you're the one I worry about. I haven't seen Tyler smile yet since I've been in here. Today.
Well, that's been mainly a furrowed brow, just trying to catch up on stuff here at the station. But, no, yeah, I'm pissed off.
There you go. Yeah, I know it. You should. And then here, hey, And I'm telling you right now, in these 3 hours or the next several days, we hell, man, let it out. This, you know, this the drive is a spot and a space for you to let it out. Let that thing out. And we will allow you to let it out at the bottom of the hour, the final segment of this hour. We'll open up the phone lines and hear from you. I feel like this is a day we should hear from the people, hear from you, and get your perspective on things. So we'll do that here coming up in a bit, but you can continue to text in your thoughts or use YouTube and Twitch to give us your thoughts on this thing. But let's start here because, Clint, you finally felt like you got what you wanted to hear from the head coach after the game and some of the things he had to say fresh after the game. Not really today, but right after the game, you felt good about what you got to hear from.
Without a doubt. This is what, for all the people out there that get all up in arms, when I say I want to hear certain things from the head coach, I want to hear certain things from the quarterback, the leaders of this team, I want to hear certain things throughout the year, throughout the season, after, you know, the first month of the season if you're not performing. D'Amico Ryans, now it's a little too late because the season's over, but this is the D'Amico Ryans that I wanted to hear after the first time they had an outing that was subpar in D'Amico Ryans' eyes, right? This is the D'Amico Ryans, to be honest with you, this is the D'Amico Ryans that gives me hope moving forward that this isn't just a, we're going to win this old lousy division, you're going to be the four seed, and you're going to have to go on the road to Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo every damn year until they make a change at quarterback. You're probably going to play in cold-ass weather. You're probably going to deal with the elements that you're not used to, and it's going to be a super steep climb if that's the way you got to get to an AFC championship. This is the D'Amico Ryans, for me personally, that I wanted to hear a month ago, and that hopefully this season was the growth and development and maturation of the Texans head coach, and this is where he's going to end up landing, whether it's a regular season game or a postseason game. Here's D'Amico Ryans, and this is a little mashup of some of the comments that he made after the game immediately following the loss to Kansas City.
Good enough to beat a really good football team, right? So when we can do the things we need to do consistently and all the time, that's when we'll be able to, you know, come here and be in this spot and win a football game. But unfortunately, like, we still got things to clean up of our own. Like, this one hurts, right? Because I know we're a better football team than we showed today, no matter who we're playing against. To go back and still have to talk about mistakes that we made in this moment, like, yeah, it's discouraging to be here, because we got to be over that at this point in the playoffs, right? Postseason football, you got to be at your best. You got to be operating on all cylinders. And for us, like, we didn't do that today. So that's what I'm just discouraged about, for sure. With the sacks, from what I saw, is first off, like, you're one-on-one. In the playoff, you got to win your one-on-one battles. That's what the game always come down to. Like, you have to man up and own your one-on-one. You have to have some pride in who you're blocking to get it done and give the quarterback a chance to throw the football.
The way he ended that, he couldn't end it any stronger right there. Man up, have some pride.
You listening, Dalton Schultz?
I mean, I think Dalton Schultz probably is the one that pushed him to say that, but I think it's a strong message to everybody on the offensive side of the football, not just Dalton. But yeah, look, that's the D'Amico Ryans that I've been wanting all year long. And again, that's the D'Amico Ryans that I hope we hear moving forward in training camp or after week one, after whatever the first game is where you don't play well. You want to talk about not losing? Because I know Will Anderson talked about it. We got to figure out a way to not lose to the damn Jets. You got to figure out a way to not lose to the Titans. You can't lose. You got to beat Detroit when you get 5 turnovers, right? Like, you talk about, you want to know how you do those things? Your head coach start holding guys accountable just like this right here. That standard they talk about is upheld every game. And if you don't meet that standard, then you're probably going to catch a little bit of this in the post-game presser. So, yeah, look, I absolutely agreed with everything D'Amico said. And I love the tone. I love the statement. Again, I wish it would have happened 3 months ago, but I love what the head coach did there.
Yeah, I liked that part of the presser. We'll get to other stuff later on, but yeah, he spoke in that manner. He spoke the truth, and you can hear the frustration. Yeah. Like, you're not going to beat good football teams and do the things that you're going to do. Like, all those things he listed is why is the most top reasons why they lost this game and why they had issues in this game.
He was asked about the issues with Travis Kelce as well. He said mental errors. I wish I had more for you, but it's mental errors. Just flat
that's
mental.
A lot of them.
Just point blank. I'm not worried about hurting the players' feelings. Damn it, you watch the film. You know it was Azeez Al-Shaair twice and Miles Bryant maybe once or twice. So, like, yeah, there's...
And him not adjusting at some point.
Oh, no. We get into scheme. Yeah, absolutely, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. But just the thought of mental errors and just the straightforward, I'm not worried about hurting anybody's feelings. This is the reality of the situation. Let's keep it moving. I loved D'Amico Ryan's comments.
All right, 713-572-4610. Were you into D'Amico's comments as Clint was as well? And let's not wait. Let's get into what is been the talking point, and quite frankly, which has been half my life for the last couple of days. The two things we don't have to wait anymore. The two calls. That's what it seems like a lot of this game has kind of been narrowed down to, or at least on the minds of a lot of guys. I think the Texans players and coaches have also made this, I think, a bigger deal as well as a lot of conversation about the two personal foul hits on Patrick Mahomes. And you can text in, give your thoughts, YouTube and Twitch. I'll let Tyler and Clint as well give theirs. What was your feeling on those two calls that are hugely talked about right now?
Well, look, I thought they were horrendous. Both of them horrendous roughing calls. And I think they absolutely crippled the Texans in a time when they had the momentum and were playing better football at that point in time. And the reality of it is that it just can't happen. I think the second one was more egregious, if you will, than the first one, but both of them, I think they changed the course of the game, and I think both of them were bad, really really bad calls.
Tyler, your thoughts on the two calls that are seem to be like the biggest things to come out of this game?
In the moment, pissed off. In this moment right now, flash forward several hours on a Reaction Monday, still pissed off. And think there was a plethora of others outside of those two that the black and white guys, the zebras out on the field, were looking out for the Chiefs and Mahomes with, if you ask me.
Yeah, listen, I will get my thoughts here in just a second. As we see, did y'all see the blatant offsides on the field goal that was not called, not to mention all the holds on the Chiefs O-line? This is a man, I never thought I'd see the day Troy Aikman and Joe Buck would be bashing the refs and sticking up for the Texans, as some people tweeted in. I think they were two bad calls. I agree. I would not have thrown a flag. I think they shouldn't have been thrown. Even if there was contact with the head, I don't think it was forcible, as the comments that is talked about. And I think they were bad calls. Now, where I lose, and where I guess I differ on some, and kind of the words you use, crippling, I don't think it was crippling. I don't think 7:20 in the first quarter in a 3-3 game is crippling. That resulted in six to three. And I don't even think the last one is crippling. I think, obviously, to me, it especially becomes less crippling when you score 12 points in the game. But I do think those calls were bad calls. And I know, I think they were, and to me, the things where it loses me is when in any way you believe those bad calls changed the outcome of the game and that the Texans would have won the game, or that the league is deliberately coming out and officials are deliberately doing this for the Chiefs to win. That's where you lose me. I agree. There were bad calls. And I know many of you don't believe it or didn't watch it that way. There were bad calls that were missed and made on the other side as well. I think there were just some bad calls in the game. And I'm not going to say those weren't big calls. but I think they were definitely calls that the Texans could have come back from and did. So I think, yeah, I agree they were bad calls. I don't think that they cost them the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the conversation is more about just the calls. I mean, it's not about. I mean,
I think you're in a different space.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a blame it on the refs guy ever. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Texans would have won this game without it. I can tell you this: when you're in the divisional round and you're a 9.5 point dog, and you're on the road versus arguably the best dynasty we've ever seen. And Pat Mahomes, arguably the best quarterback, and Andy Reid, the regardless of where it's at in a game, when you take a play on a 3rd and 8 that's an incomplete pass and you turn it into a first down versus a punt, again, when you've got the momentum, I think your margin for error in what does swing the game, you are fighting such a steep uphill battle when you're playing that level of a team and that level of opponent in that environment that taking what would have been a 4th and long and for sure a punt, and you got the football. And again, you've played with, I mean, offensively, you played significantly better at that point in time and had a little bit of momentum than the Chiefs. I mean, that swings the game, especially when the Chiefs go on, have a big play, and end up kicking a field goal. That is a major part of the game when you're looking again at a team that Vegas says has no business even being on the field with the Chiefs. So, no, I mean, look, it's unfortunate that you got to deal with something like this, because they're terrible calls. And on top of that, I think you've got a quarterback that's playing into the ref's attempts and the league's attempts to protect them.
Yeah.
I think he's flopping.
I think there are a lot of quarterbacks doing it.
Well, we were only playing one. He flopped. I think he flopped when Will Anderson hit him. He showed later on in the game to slow down and then initiate contact and flop again. The dancing around and baiting defenders into you instead of just easily going out of bounds, as Troy Aikman mentioned. You know, I think that is taking advantage of the rules, and they benefited from it in a big way, 2 different times. And so I just think it's unfortunate that, one, the Texans had to deal with that, and two, that Pat Mahomes is handling it the way that he's handling it. This, Ron, this is why I hated the way that the Texans general manager and head coach handled the Azeez Al-Shaair stuff, right? Because right now is the time for you to be in that I'll take the fine, to hell with it mode. We're going to let the league know, because this is the time that you've got a real case. This is the time that you can literally initiate change in the offseason, is if you're the loudest voice in football after that weekend, talking about what happened to your team, not the Azeez Al-Shaair crap that was clearly dirty, right? That's why I hate that they were doing it then, because right now is the time that we should hear Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans talking about what they had to deal with in this playoff game.
Yeah, I said it when they brought up that had nothing to do with the Trevor Lawrence hit. That, yeah, I'm with it. Find them, get them. Call them penalties. But like I see someone here texting in, lost all respect for Mahomes, man. That's fine. I mean, there are flops all over the field. All over it's becoming a part of the game. Josh Allen does it, Jared Goff does it, a lot of quarterbacks do it. Hell, defensive linemen do it. We see it all the time when there's little pushing matchups, somebody takes a dive and falls on the ground to try to draw a penalty. It's all BS. And penalize it. Not a penalty right now, but penalize it. But for me, man, I just like, play football. Play football. 6-3, 7-20 in the first quarter. If that has crippled you, then, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, that's just me. Well, I mean.
I guess my deal is, I don't know how anybody watched that game. And again, you're taking into consideration it's the Chiefs versus the Texans. And you watch that, and doesn't affect the game. Like, that's, I mean, you're playing up a steep, steep hill, and you got a possession taken away from you.
No, I'm not saying it didn't affect the game. What I'm saying is,
well, it makes an already difficult situation significantly more difficult.
Yeah, it's a bad call that happens in football a lot. Like, I mean, like I said, there were bad calls. There was a Travis Kelce 20-yard gain that got ripped off because of a bad phantom holding call on the Chiefs that backed him. But you keep playing football. You keep playing football. All right, coming up, we will hear from you in the bottom of the hour, and you can give your thoughts as well. But coming up, there are some things that I think Clint is just kind of frustrated at. The last week of the season, the divisional round, why are we still dealing with this from the Texans? We'll discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is a Reaction Monday as we are reacting to Saturday night's game as the Texans season ends in Kansas City at Arrowhead as they lose 23-14 in Kansas City. And we just kind of went through a couple of the things. As we said, coming up in the bottom of the hour, we will open up the phone lines. And I want you to be thinking about this because I'm going to let you hear from the two, I think, biggest individuals in the organization, the head coach and the quarterback. And they both kind of had two different perspectives on this thing. And I do want to get from you all, are you discouraged after the game or are you encouraged after the game? And I'll let you hear what they had to say. And then I kind of think that'd be a good jumping off point to see where you are as you give your point. That's coming up after this segment ends. But Clint, I know for you, you grew very frustrated on some of the issues that are still issues that the Texans are dealing with, and they showed up big time in the game on Saturday.
Yeah, Ronnie, and this all goes back, by the way, it's married to kind of what D'Amico Ryans has allowed all year long, by the way. I mean, it blows my mind that a lot of what we're talking about, and we're going to talk about, not all of it, but a lot of it, is stuff that we saw as early as the Minnesota Vikings game in the regular season, which, what was that, week four, week five, something like that, maybe even earlier?
Week three.
I mean, like, there's to then see the same exact thing in the playoffs. I don't even care if the other option is something that it seems it's less appealing. It may not work, makes less sense. Give me something other than the same old that we saw not work all year long. I'll start with this. I'm going to clean it up a little bit because I actually got the F word in this one. But how in the hell...
Thank you.
How in the hell are we still seeing a full slide protection towards Laremy Tunsil away from Dalton Schultz in critical moments? We saw it. Everybody saw it. Dalton Schultz trying to block Karloftis in critical moments down the stretch, right? We talked about the penalties a little earlier. You want to talk about something that's just as damning as a penalty that gets a first down instead of a punt with Pat Mahomes, right? Again, trying to block defensive ends with Dalton Schultz. And I'm talking about the scheme of it. We'll get into Dalton later on. Just the scheme of it, Ron, is for that to rear its head again after the Minnesota Vikings game is criminal in itself. For it to rear its head in the most critical moment of the divisional round against Kansas City Chiefs, when you've played your ass off during this game and you've got it, you've got a shot, maybe a long shot, but you got a shot to get back in the game, and you've got Dalton Schultz blocking Karloftis. How is that in the playbook? How is that still allowed to happen?
That's some of the blitz stuff where they had so many guys walked up there and
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and I need Big Smitty. I need some of my offensive line guys that are out there. I need y'all to help me out.
That fourth and 10, that was...
I need... Bro, it was all three of those plays in a row, Ron. They're all three. I need y'all to help me out. Because the...
What was D'Amico thinking?
The full slide... Oh, you're talking about on defense.
I'm talking about the fourth and 10. You waited so late to go for it. You ran down time, and you saw it. It was Karloftis versus him. No help. And they didn't have a chance.
The full slide... Literally away. I don't care that it's Tunsil on the other side, but you typically slide towards the person you're trying to protect, which would be Blake Fisher in this situation, right? But the way that they're doing it, I need some of my O-line pass pro masters out there to go look at this. It appears to me, in every one of those situations, if I were the quarterback, I would have gotten the slide direction correct. If you just look at the defense, right? And it's as simple as this for the radio listeners out there. I know this is deep for radio, but if I've got trips to my left and my running back, if I got four receivers to my left, it's damn near impossible for them to blitz from that side of the field because somebody's got to have them in man. They cannot, unless they blow a coverage and they're playing super risky football, they cannot blitz those guys. So just by the simple rule of football 101, I'm sliding it the other direction. And if they do blow the coverage, I've got answers because my receivers are right in my face. I have no idea what Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud and the offensive line were doing in those moments. Have no idea. How every slide protection in this offense, Ron, every slide protection in this offense should be guard in. Like a full slide protection. Again, for everybody out there listening, you got five offensive linemen. If we're going to slide left, you take Blake Fisher and every offensive lineman, and they slide hard left towards Laramie Tunsil. The tight end or the running back has the defensive end off the edge. That should have been thrown in the garbage months ago. And you leave the tackle on the defensive end, and you slide from guard that direction. That's it. The full slide should not be in this offense because you don't have Dari Agunbowale can't do it. Cade Stover couldn't do it. Dalton Schultz damn sure can't do it. And the guy that I would trust the most to do it is Joe Mixon. And for some reason, you got his ass on the sideline in 2 minute and third quarter in third down situations.
I hate to be so simplistic with this, as we've been watching this all year. Clint, I understand where you're coming from and you got to do something. Is there any kind of protection that would help these dudes? You got Shaq Mason out there just getting. I mean, it feels like.
Well, that you can't help.
Guys getting their ass. The first third and eight, Clint. I mean, like, we can talk about all the stuff we're looking at. The first third and eight, Chris Jones is one on one with Blake Fisher with no help.
If a lineman's just getting his ass whooped like that or like Shaq did, I mean, that's part of it. You come to this game and you expect.
But that's Blake on Bobby. Like we're looking at that. Right. That's on Bobby. Because CJ had Ogunbowale, should have switched him sides to help on the other side.
But that's something that you and I can talk about. Like, hey, man, you even said it last week when we were talking about it, right? You push back. Hell, Andy leaves his tackles on an island sometimes versus the best. Like, I get mad at Bobby Ford, but I don't just go, what the hell, right? This is all like, what in the hell are we doing? Because, yeah, you ask, what's the answer? I'll tell you what the answer is. Slide Dalton Schultz in the backfield to the right of the quarterback. Get Joe Mixon to the left of the quarterback. Get Dari Agunbowale out of the way, right? Block big on big up front. If they walk up the linebackers or the safeties in the A-gap, move Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon up in the A-gap to where they can pick them up before they get ahead of steam. That's it. And at that point in time, if Reed and the linebacker bail out, then Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon scan for any other problems, anybody they can help, and then they get out. Bronco protection is what we used to call it. It should be, like this year with the Texans, by about mid-year, that should have been their two-minute offense. Nothing but Bronco protection. Seven-man protect. And if you want to play zone, we'll get two great check-down guys out in the flats, and you're in trouble, right? That crap we saw yesterday late in the game shouldn't even been in a playbook.
All right, coming up, we hear from you, 713-572-4610. Want to get your thoughts. I'll let you hear a little bit from the coach and the quarterback, and then I want to get your thoughts off the questions that they were answering. That's coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Little news in the NFL as we'll see how things go with the Lions moving forward, because it looks like they might have to end up doing what happened to the Eagles a couple of years ago. If you remember, the Eagles get to the Super Bowl. Of course, they didn't get to the Super Bowl, but you remember the Eagles got to the Super Bowl. They lost both their coordinators.
Yep.
And
they've gone through two more since.
Yeah.
They?
Yeah. Yep. And they sure did. The Lions look like they're primed to do that unless. The defense here of late has screwed Aaron Glenn to being able to get a job, which I would hope isn't the case. But they've just lost Ben Johnson, and they lost him in the division, and he is going to Chicago with Caleb Williams. So Ben Johnson, the OC, is going there.
Boy, I bet you Aaron Glenn's if he doesn't pull the Ben Johnson from last year of like, hey, I don't like the situation or whatever. Like, I think if Aaron Glenn is back in Detroit, it's because he wants to be.
I hope so. He deserves to get a job. I hope he is offered a job.
Ron, he's one of them dudes. He's as a former player was good enough, and now as a coach is sharp enough and like legit coach enough to. I think it's a no brainer.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah,
should be. All right. 713-572-4610. We feel like this is a day that we should hear from the people. And I do want to hear from the people. And the thought for me is, do you come away? D'Amico was answering a question, and he was asked, are you encouraged? He said, hell no, I'm discouraged, right? Like, and there were two different thought processes that came process. Two different processes that came through this from D'Amico and from C.J. Stroud. First with D'Amico, the thought of being encouraged or discouraged. Here is D'Amico Ryans after the game.
Like, this one hurts, right? Because I know we're a better football team than we showed today, no matter who we're playing against. To go back and still have to talk about mistakes that we made in this moment, like, yeah, it's discouraging to be here because we got to be over that at this point in the playoffs, right? Postseason football, you got to be at your best. You got to be operating on all cylinders. And for us, like, we didn't do that today. So that's what I'm just discouraged about for sure.
All right, that was D'Amico. He is discouraged. 713-572-4610. Are you in that camp? Are you in discouraged? Here was C.J. Stroud, who had a little different thought in his media session.
Yeah, for sure. It's anything in life, you know, things knock you up, you know, that don't break you. They make you a lot tougher. And for me, I'm learning just to be resilient with, you know, everything, you know. And I think those tough times on the field for me definitely is going to pay off in the long run. I'm excited because, you know, if this is a down year and, you know, another playoff win, play against a great Chiefs team and compete with them, and I'm not saying I'm happy with it, but I'm definitely encouraged and motivated that, you know, there's more for the Texans, you know, on the other side of the hump.
All right, said CJ said he was more encouraged and motivated about the Texans on the other side of the hump. 713-572-4610. It's your time here to kind of vent to us out here. Where are you? Are you encouraged basis? Do you think of the entirety of the season? Are you encouraged or are you more discouraged in the thing? Where you land right there?
Yeah, no, I am 100% with D'Amico Ryans on this thing. When you talk about, you know, reaching the level that they are of where you're in the Elite Eight and you're playing for a chance to go to the AFC Championship, and you start the game off giving up a return on special teams and then give them 15 more yards because you got a guy that can't handle his lit emotions and throws a helmet on the sideline and gives him 15 more. Like, and you've been allowing that all year long, by the way. This isn't the first time 17's shown up on the penalty problem list. And the way the game went, you end the game, you give up 8 or 9 sacks. You end the game with just the complete inability to protect your quarterback at all. The reality of it is I'm glad they're there and I'm glad they were competitive. But this is a tough pill to swallow right here for the Texans. This wasn't you were outclassed and you just went out and in the biggest moment you messed the bed on several for special teams. Awful. You talk about the missed field goal and the missed extra point.
It was one of the worst special teams performances in playoff
history. I mean, Ron, like look at – I haven't done it, but anybody out there that has the time and energy to do it, go do it. Like, Kansas City's kickoff returners were catching Kymie Fairbairn's kickoffs at the 10 and 15 on a full sprint. And an old buddy from Kansas City was kicking out of the damn end zone. Like that.
He's
that,
just even from little stuff from that.
I mean, just little stuff like that. Like, you got, and look, I know it's indoor, outdoor, but you got a kicker that's capable of hitting 60-yard field goals, and we can't get it out of the back of the damn end zone. We can't even give it enough hang time for your squad to get down there. Like, it was just special teams were absolutely awful. So I'm discouraged with this loss big time.
All right, 713-572-4610. You discouraged or encouraged after this season ends? We'll go to the phone lines. D-Lo, how you doing, man? Are you where are you at?
Discouraged.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Start over again, D-Lo. That's my fault. Where you at?
I'm discouraged. Okay. And I love my Texans. And watching that game, as they try to compete with KC, like you say, in the environment, with a team that's already got a pedigree of winning and being able to overcome. And so I'm thinking that D'Amico Ryans, as a coach, could have been a better coach. And the reason I say that is because I can't remember. I know it was fourth quarter, and they decided to go for the a first down. I think it was like fourth and 10.
It was fourth and 10. Something of that nature. Yep, down 8, okay. One score. Yep.
I couldn't believe he went for that. First of all, I think it was maybe 6 minutes left in the game.
8.
And you're deep. 8 minutes, okay? And your defense really have been playing lights out. And he went for it like he panicked. And to the point that they didn't even call. I don't know if they even called timeout to discuss it.
No, they didn't.
They did call. They didn't call timeout. So I'm thinking, as a coach, I don't know if D'Amico Ryans is the only one that's on the sideline that's making decisions about what they're going to do, and so if he's being preoccupied with some other things, that he can't really act under pressure and know that, hey, I need to call timeout.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, D-Lo. I want to get some others in. Yes, I don't think that D'Amico had a great night. Be honest with you, that 55-yard field goal that he attempted that gave them a short field that led to the only touchdown they scored in the first half, I thought that was an interesting decision as well. When I mean you got Fairbairn, who has never kicked a lot in that type of weather with that wind blowing like that. I didn't think that had a chance at all to go in, and you gave him that short field. All right, Eddie, where are you at on this thing? How you feeling? Encouraged or discouraged?
I'm discouraged. I'm really discouraged by Dalton Schultz. I never want to see that guy in a Texans uniform again, ever.
Amen.
You cannot have a good pass pro team with that guy on the field, period, end of story. I mean, if you got the Hogs from back in the day, or if you got Aikman's offensive line, yeah, maybe you can shield Schultz. But no way in hell. I never want – he doesn't care about even putting forth effort to do it. I never want to see him in a Texans uniform again. And I'm discouraged on Titus Howard too. How did he and Tunsil not, how does, and like they said it on the broadcast, how does Titus let the inside guy over the center rush unblocked? How does he not get with the center and say, you know, hey, your guy, my guy, whatever? How is that Titus is a veteran, you know? And I'm just discouraged by how this offensive line has not progressed. And as much as I hate to say it, we're going to have to invest some high draft capital in getting that fixed, because we don't have the money in free agency. So very disappointed in our veteran line play.
Appreciate the call. No, I think you got the money in free agency. You got some money to spend there. But I hear you. I can understand the frustrations. Pedro, where are you at? Discouraged or encouraged?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for having me. I know it sucks right now. I am encouraged, and just hear me out before you hang up on me.
I'm not hanging up on you, Pedro.
The team turned it up a notch when they needed to, and we have the cornerstone pieces. This is the first time in our franchise history that we have a coach we believe in. We have a bona fide quarterback, and we have our star defensive end that can put pressure on people. The interior of that line needs to be fixed, and needs to be fixed real quick. I'll leave you guys with this. If you can protect CJ Stroud, do we win the game? Yes or no? I say we do. So that's why I'm encouraged.
Appreciate the call. I think that was a pretty big part of the game. Yeah, you could protect him, but that was probably never going to be the case. Paul, I'll let you jump in here. Go ahead and close us out, Paul.
Yeah, I'm encouraged and discouraged. Just hear me out now. I think we've got the talent to win a Super Bowl. And I don't wear the rose-colored glasses, but I'm watching this 35-year-old guy, supposedly washed up, Kelce, catch ball after ball after ball, and I know we got screwed over on some calls. But that's the one guy I don't want to get beat by is Travis Kelce.
That's what Clint said.
And I'm sick of, you know, I said, where, Where's this great defensive mind at? We got a good defense. What is going on with this guy being so wide open all the way down the flipping field? That's what discourages me right there.
Wow, Paul dropped the mic on that thing. I could not believe the adjustment was never putting Stingley or Kamari Laster on him.
Never.
It went from, all right, we're playing zone. Okay, he's kicking our ass. Like, that's why, like, when I get to all of that, that's why I say, like I know I am overly the non-referee guy. I'm not. Like that's it. When Travis Kelce is just waltzing alone in the middle of the field, like by himself.
Yeah.
Like, so he went zone. He said, all right, well, let's adjust that. And the adjustment was Miles Bryant.
Yeah.
And never, and Andy Reid seemed to be content in just making Lassiter and Stingley no part of the game.
That's the tough part, Ron. It was like Reid was disrespectful. They had one receiver, one non tight end running back caught a ball.
Yeah, and they weren't like, and it wasn't like that, partly because those guys can lock down, no. But it was partly because. We'll do that. Well, no, keep you away.
Right? No question. No, that's the disrespectful part of this. For four quarters, he said, "I'm gonna let Hollywood Brown and Worthy occupy Lassiter and Stingley, and then I'm gonna eat everywhere else. I'm gonna eat the middle of the field."
Sometimes Worthy was away from both of them. Somehow Worthy got matched up on Eric Murray down the side.
Yeah.
For a
kid. Well, when he wanted to get the ball to Worthy,
yeah, he did.
I mean, he used motion to do it, some kind of funky motion to do it. Yeah,
I said all last week. Well, I think that D'Amico's going to be aggressive in the way he uses his best player, and he didn't. He was out there just covering Justin Watson at times, just for no good reason. All right, coming up, we do it every Monday. This is the last time of the year, and I can't wait to hear Clint's thoughts on this because I honestly don't know what it is. C.J. Stroud's great. What's his grade? Maybe we also talk a little bit about Bobby and how he looked yesterday, Bobby Slowick. But what was the grade for C.J. Stroud? 19-28, 245, no touchdowns, no turnovers, rating 95, 6 carries, 42 yards. What was the grade for C.J. Stroud? That's next.